morning, everyone. Thank you for joining our talk. My name is Weiwei. I'm from Hong Kong. So this is our paper, Geometry-Based Edge Clustering for Graph Visualization. This paper is co-authored by Hong Zhou, Huamin Qu from Hong Kong University of Science and Technology, and Pak Chung Wang from Pacific Northwest National Laboratory, and Xiaoming Li from Peking University. So this is the outline of my presentation. First introduction, after that is our system framework. And there are two major components in this part. We call them control mesh generation and edge smoothing. So after the framework, I will briefly talk about three visualization techniques used in our system. And then I will show two simple experiment results and end my presentation with some discussion and the future work. So, graphs are very widely used in problem modeling. However, for as shown in this figure, excessive edges can cause a severe visual clutter, and usually traditional layouts are not effective for this kind of dense graph. So, reducing visual clutter has become a very important research problem. So, many clutter reduction techniques have been proposed in the past few years. Such as sampling, filtering, clustering, animation, but here we only focus on the layout approach for clutter reduction. So basically, there are two categories in this layout approach. The first one is about adjusting node positions, such as all the force-based layouts. However, force-based layouts, they are usually not effective for dense graphs, and sometimes they are not appropriate for some applications. For example, sometimes the node positions have to be fixed because they are used to encode some geographical information. The other category is about improving edge layouts, such as force flow maps, edge bundling, edge lengths. They all curve edges to reduce visual clutter. Compared with these techniques, our method is dealing with general graphs and aims at revealing the global structures and high large scale patterns in the data. Our idea is inspired by man-made load maps. We find some good features about load maps. For example, they turn straight lines into segments, and they provide different level of details such as highways and country roads, and high-level traffic patterns are well preserved in load maps. Of course, people are using them for many, many years. They are very familiar with this kind of representation. So we think turning straight line graphs into load map style graphs may effectively reduce the visual clutter and help detect the underlying patterns in the data. So to generate load map style graphs, we first add some virtual control points, in this graph, and connect those virtual control points with some segments. Then we force all the links to pass through these control points and segments. Then we can have our load map style graphs. To do that, we need to solve two problems. First, we need to find out where to place all the control points and segments. And second, how to route those graph edges through the control points and segments. So actually, there are some basic guidelines for placing control points and segments. For example, a good control point should be close to the point with high lane density, which also means heavy traffic. And a good segment must be aligned to some primary line directions, which means major traffic directions. So to solve these two problems in our system, we decided to introduce the concept of control mesh. Basically, for a given graph, we want to construct a control mesh that reflects the underlying graph patterns. Then, after the control mesh is generated, we put all the control points on the control mesh edges. Then, if a graph edge intersects with a certain control edges, then we force the graph edges to pass through the control points on the control edge. So now choosing a path for a graph edge has become finding a triangle stripe in the in a control mesh. So we identify two graph patterns to build the control mesh. Sorry, the first one is node patterns, but here we only focus on the edge patterns. In the second part, I will introduce our system framework, specifically two components called control mesh generation and edge smoothing. Here is a brief overview of our framework. First, we assume all the node positions in the input graph are already available, because for some applications, node positions should not be moved because they have geographical information. For the other applications, node positions can be computed by other methods, such as force-based models. So we do not move the node positions in our system. After the input, we have three major steps. We call them control mesh generation, edge clustering, and visualization. All the node and edge information of the input graph are first sent to the control mesh generation model, so we can build the control mesh, of course, based on the underlying structure. Then, in the edge clustering model, this model will set some control points on the control mesh, and cluster the input graph edges. And in the final model, visualization model, in intuitive exploration interface will be provided to user, so users can interact with the clustered result. So here's our final system framework. In the control mesh generation model, a graph analyzer can detect the graph patterns, and the mesh generator will complete a triangle mesh based on the output of graph analyzer and send the mesh to bundler. Edge bundler will do the clustering, but some edges may have too many zigzags by this method, so we need to use edge smoother to fine-tune those zigzag edges and make them more visually pleasing. I will explain these models in the following slides. And now, here's the first one. We assume we already have a control mesh. The edge clustering process is very straightforward. First, we collect all the intersection points between the control mesh and the original graph. Then, intuitively, the control points on each control edge should be placed in the center of the intersection points. By doing that, after we force them to pass through the control points, force all the graph edges to pass through the control points, the global of distortion can be minimized. So because the edge clustering process is very intuitive, and different graph layouts can be generated by using different control meshes and control points. So the control mesh plays a very important role in the whole process, edge clustering. We tried different schemes to generate the control mesh. For example, we tried to directly triangulate graph nodes into a control mesh. But however, this method does not work for many graphs because there are many graph edges are identical to the mesh edges, so it's impossible to cluster those edges by this kind of control mesh. So we think a good control mesh should be considered the edge patterns too. So we need some control mesh edge to cut through the edge cluster in the input graph. So here is our current control mesh generation scheme. First, we calculate the bounding box of the input graph. Then we divide the bounding box into cells by using a regular grid. Then we find out for each cell, we find out the primary direction in it. Then we merge small cells who has similar primary directions. We merge them into some larger regions. So this is what we get. Then for each region, we generate a mesh edge to cut through the cluster in it. Then we may need to merge some mesh edges if they are too close to each other, and then we generate complete the triangle mesh by using constrained Dynonic triangulation, because we want to keep those cutting edges in the final Dynonic triangulation result. So it's very natural to extend our control mesh generation schemes to generate some a set of some hierarchical control mesh to, so we can do the edge clustering in hierarchical ways. So the hierarchical meshes can be generated in two ways, in discrete LOD and continuous LOD. The concept of continuous level of details is borrowed from the computer graphics field. Of course, here mesh simplification can be used to generate the continuous LOD, but it also can be generated by merging cells one by one based on their differences of primary directions. At the beginning, two neighboring cells with smallest difference of their primary directions will get merged first. So after each merge, we can generate a new control mesh who has a fewer mesh edges than previous one. So if we keep merging and merging those cells, we will get a sequence of control meshes with continuous level of detail. The discrete level of detail can be achieved by specifying different discrete threshold while we doing the grid merging. If we, for example, we choose the merging threshold to be 5 degree, 12 degree, 45 degree, then we have three levels of different meshes. So the flexible LOD control will be our major contribution of our geographic system, geometry-based framework. Sorry. So there's one more thing we have to deal with. The polyline edges generated by our straightforward edge clustering method may not be visually pleasing because they have generated some zigzag edges, such as this one. To alleviate this problem, we first developed a quality metric to measure how well the polylines represent the original straight lines. So this quality metric should consider the polyline curvature, the number of turning points, and the distance between polylines and their original straight lines. Our metric is modeled in the following two terms. The first term is the red angles in the figure. The red angle indicates all the inconsistent terms with their previous ones. Another term is green distance, which indicates the distance between the curved polylines and the straight and original straight lines. Our metric value will be the weighted sum of these two terms. So now we have a quality metric. So based on this metric, we can identify a set of polylines which have bad quality, so we can do local smoothing problem. The basic idea is we need to find a local area about these original straight lines. Then we search all the possible paths in this region, and then we just choose the best one. So compared with some global energy-based optimization method, our smoothing method is much faster because our method is just one pass process and with a narrowed search space. So in the third part, I will briefly talk about three visualization techniques used in our system. They are color opacity enhancement, mesh adjustment, and animation. So for a dense graph, patterns may still be unclear because after the edge clustering because of the occlusion. So to enhance those patterns, we design a number of transfer functions to map different attributes to different colors and opacity values. So users then can directly manipulate those transfer functions and selectively enhance some patterns they want to see. The second technique is about mesh adjustment. This is about if user want to further explore the data, they can adjust the control mesh directly manually, and so that different layouts can be generated. So almost every mesh adjustment operations can be used here. By adjusting the meshes, some separated clusters may get merged, and maybe some merged cluster may get split. Take an example, if we move the A vertices in the mesh graph from here to here, then this BC cluster will automatically get merged because their metric values change. We also introduced an animation to show how those graph edges change from their straight line to a polyline, and then gradually merge together. So users can detect some patterns which may not be appear in the final static layout. So in the experiment result part, I will apply our method on two real data sets and demonstrate the effectiveness of our approach. The first data set is about the major airline routes of Northwest Airlines in the United States. Because of the severe clutter, not much information is revealed. But after applying our method, we can clearly see there are some major clusters going from the west coast to the east coast. However, the airline directions are more diversified in the northeast region. So we zoom in to that region, northeast region. The more details are displayed with our hierarchical control mesh. And we also applied some different transfer functions on these two results. So by providing more information about the original links, so users can easily find some interesting patterns in the clusters. So, and here, here is a short video showing the transition between these two levels of control mesh. We can see that if we change the control mesh from high resolution to low resolution, the graph cluster they also becomes more bigger and bigger. So the second graph is a very dense one. Representing the migration flows in the United States. So this is our clustered result. Some patterns becomes visible, but still very fuzzy. So we applied a transfer function to map the migration numbers to the different colors. So here's the result. The patterns will be more clear. Here, you can compare these two graphs. They have same transfer functions, but the line style are different. So you can see the clustered one is much more clear. We also showed a flow map result that only reveals the migration flows from one single city from the west coast. So the last part is about some discussion and future work. Our algorithm is highly configurable and intuitive. It gives user great control and flexibility in the whole process. And there are many advanced and efficient algorithms for the major computational task in our algorithm. So our framework can work very fast. And our algorithm is also stable. Changing a graph node or control mesh nodes will be localized and will not dramatically affect the global structure. To summarize our paper, we propose a general edge clustering framework based on control mesh to reveal visual clutter and enhance patterns in graphs. Our framework will be intuitive, flexible, and efficient. We present several schemes to generate control meshes that can capture the underlying edge distribution patterns and lead to informative graph layouts. The control mesh can easily be constructed in a hierarchical way, so users will be able to examine the graphs in different levels of details. We also introduced three visualization interaction techniques, so they allow users to easily control the final layout by adjusting the transfer functions and control mesh. Of course, there are a lot of future directions we can go to. For example, we can try different control meshes, such as curvilinear grid. And currently, our color opacity enhancement is very primitive. So we can think about some more sophisticated transfer functions by considering both nodes and position, node positions and edge attributes. So we'll stop here. Thank you for your attention.
So if I look at one of your graphs, it's definitely simpler with the bundled edges, but I would worry that maybe it's simpler because you've removed the information that a graph is supposed to provide. So, you know, a very common task in a graph is to say, does node A link to node B? In a straight line graph, there's a line between them or there isn't. With your highway metaphor, if I get onto a highway, all of a sudden now there's thousands of different destinations I could get to by the highway. How do I know if A and B are connected?
So I think our goal is to reveal the overall structure instead of the smaller details, because the problem is the graph may be very large. They are all cluttered together. So we cannot see the overall picture. How can we tell which nodes are connected to another one? So I think our first goal is to reveal overall structure. But if we want to see the details about connection information, we may use other techniques such as filtering. So actually our method has our weakness about our approach. We do not keep this kind of detailed information, but we can extend our method, maybe integrate some filtering techniques so user can find what they want to see in the result.
Hi. We know that some geometric algorithms, they do have problems when implement them, like, you know, edges disappear and things like that. How difficult is it to reproduce your algorithm if I tell a student to go there and implement that? Did you have any problems, geometric problems, during the solution of your algorithm implementation?
I'm sorry, I don't quite follow.
Let's say I want to implement that.
Yes.
I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, firstly, is the algorithm available? Is the code available?
Mm-hmm.
It is?
It's.
She's asking whether there are tiny details that make your technique maybe difficult to re-implement for semester students.
Actually, I explained all the details in the paper. To reproduce this result, actually maybe some parameters are difficult to fine tune, because we introduce a lot of flexibility, so they also introduce some kind of trouble to fine tune them, so maybe that's the problem.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, I like it very much, and I think the detail can be provided on interaction, while this one gives a nice view of what's going on. I like it.
Thank you.
Hi, Gordon Saxena. Let's see. It seems like this type of algorithm is most well suited when there's some when there's other information around what nodes are tightly together already. So I guess, you know, when you have a geographic map, if the highway goes to this spot or that spot, you know, those two spots have something close together with each other. Or I don't know if there, you know, maybe if there's a, but I guess if it's a completely random graph of stuff, maybe it would be less applicable. I'm not sure if I'm making sense. I think for this technique to make sense, when you do your initial layout of where all the nodes go, you want to have nodes that have something to do with each other be also close by to each other.
Sorry, I can still quite understand your question.
Okay. No, that's okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Lars Jakobsen University. So I want to pick up on the idea of using interaction. First, Roseanne mentioned already that interaction would be helpful to actually pick individuals that you have there. But it may actually also help you to improve the layout that you have there. If you look at the upper right picture, you see that the blue and the green lines, they basically overlap.
Yeah.
So if I could just interactively grab one of them and move the control mesh a little bit such that they basically get separated somehow, that would basically improve your result. So it would probably be helpful to give the user some kind of interactive tools to actually improve the layout in a way they want to have it.
Definitely, because we provide all control. We provide all the control to the users. User can definitely change any of the control edges. You can move the node, delete the node, insert the edges. This sort of operations are already provided in the system. So, our system is just to provide a automatically construction of a control mesh. But the users can always, you know, manually doing some changes.
Okay. So how difficult would it be to basically pull these blue edges somewhat more towards the center, such that they actually build a curve that's nicely visible?
Yeah, the problem is the graph. What's the structure of the graph is itself is not clear. We just choose one way to show it. The other ways are both okay, I think, because there's no conclusion about the structure because it's actually not structured. So actually, either way, you can manipulate all the control mesh whatever way you want, but it will give you different results. But that depends on